Mark Gantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We would like to greet our new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. We're going to be bringing Mark Gantos, America, and the Republic Broadcasting Network to a much wider segment of the American South by means of conventional radio. And in the days ahead, we will continue covering all the major issues of the day as it relates to gun control, as it relates to the truckers' blockade, as it relates to the Israeli lobby and Israel's push to involve the United States in a war with Iran. These are just a few of the things that we'll be kicking around in the days ahead and bringing on guests who are acknowledged experts in these various fields of endeavor. And one of those is quite clearly our friend Mark Anderson of the American Free Press, who now joins me for the next hour of this broadcast in regard to talking about a whole series of things. Mark, in regard to this situation as it presently relates to Capitol Hill, you mentioned in your article for AFP on April 9th that Representative Virgil Good, the Republican from Virginia, has introduced a HCR number 40. It has 12 co-sponsors, and on the 22nd of January, it was referred to the Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure and to the Committee on Foreign Affairs. What's the present status of HCR 40 as you understand it? And what do you perceive to be its prospects for actual passage?
The status, as I understand it at this point in time, is that it's just sort of sitting in the docket of those committees. As we all know, our U.S. legislature considers way too much legislation in general, dealing with bills, endless piles of legislation, much of it useless or wasteful or unconstitutional. And so good legislation like this kind of gets lost in the shuffle or buried underneath all sorts of other items. So I think that just as we were saying that the state-level truckers' demonstration might help put a fire under the seats of the state legislators, I think what's needed is this this very thing, this truckers' blockade in Washington. This might move HCR 40 along a little quicker or at least get them to wipe the dust off of it and take a harder look at it. Its exact prospects are hard to measure, just like just about anything is in the U.S. Congress. It's very difficult, unless you're actually there 24/7, to know where these things are going. Its prospects for passage are probably kind of slim right now. I guess there's only 12 co-sponsors. But we'll see after the truckers' blockade and after more reporting is done on it, such as this show that we're on right now, over the radio, we'll see how things pick up on that, and American Free Press will keep a very close eye on that. But that's the way it is right now. The truckers issue is, as it's been reported in AFP, is part of what's called a national grassroots demonstration. There's some people in Missouri, including Abner Dethridge, a very conscientious gentleman, who are focusing on the U.S.-Mexican truck issue as part of a larger, as he calls it, national grassroots demonstration to encourage people to call Congress on certain days. Currently, the national grassroots demonstration is slated for April 23 and 24, which is right during the beginning of the truckers' blockade, calling on all Americans, not just truckers and unionists and whatnot, but all Americans to call their congressmen, not just in Washington, but to call their congressmen in their local district offices and raise some cane about the truckers' issue and raise some cane about NAFTA and the North American Union and other issues like that.
Yes, and hopefully, again, what's going to happen on January 23rd, 24th, and 25th will get somebody's attention. We'll see. This is Mark Gantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Mark Anderson of the American Free Press. Stay tuned.
Sit back. relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website, www.howardcreek.com, or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked at several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Americans already realize our nation is in deep trouble, need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Broadcasting Network. Our friend and associate today, Mark Anderson from the American Free Press, joins us for conversation in regard to a whole host of things. We've been talking in the first part of my appearance here in these last 40 minutes or so about NAFTA and the North American Union and this whole issue of this coming trade blockade, which again is April 23rd, 24th, and 25th. You can find out more information about that at republicbroadcasting.org. You can also look at Jerome Corsi's latest piece for WorldNet Daily, which I'll get posted at Breaking All the Rules News, and bring you up to date on what's happening with this and what it may mean in terms of the larger struggle between globalists and nationalists. Mark, I was just curious, since we're just getting to know each other in terms of on-air conversations and so forth, you've been with the American Free Press a relatively short period of time. Tell us a little bit about your, to the extent that you can, your career background and your biography and what led you to be involved with AP.
Well, I started out with your typical weekly and daily newspapers in Southwest Michigan and Northville, Indiana, about 24, 25 years ago, pretty much covering your stock things, your county commission, city commission, school board meetings. I pretty much came right out of the mainstream media, if you will. I've dabbled in radio a little bit and cable TV production. But about, say, 15 years ago, I started reading over a wider spectrum because, as you know, the the regular local newspaper and your dominant regional and national media is all pretty much out of the same informational pool, or it follows largely the same formula, which is sort of a watered-down approach where it's very difficult to really fully understand what's happening in our country when you read it. But, yeah, about 15 years ago, I started doing a little bit more research into things as I got more experience under my belt. And I read all sorts of things, the New American Magazine, Human Events. As the Internet came along, I began to realize there's a broader world out there rather than conventionalism. And American Free Press, as I got more knowledgeable and more aware of what was going on, caught my eye, and my first article was published with them in 2004, and I've been writing more and more for them ever since. That's the short version of my biography, and I learned it pretty much just by pounding the pavement. I don't have all sorts of degrees hanging on my wall. Just pretty much hard work in terms of learning the craft and getting published and learning more about what's going on in the world.
Well, and I think that that's exactly where things sit when you have somebody who's learning the craft through hard work, and they're also committed to writing about things that matter and that's, from what they believe to be a truthful perspective, as opposed to what a corporately controlled national news editor is telling them. That's how it seems to me people end up at places like American Free Press. And you know, Mark, as we've been talking here in the first 45 minutes or so. It seems to me that so many of the things I read in AFP and that I listen to in the Republic Broadcasting Network suggests that the real struggle today is between globalists and nationalists. And if that thesis is correct, what do you see as maybe the four or five key issues that that define that conflict? Presumably the North American Union would be one of those, of course.
It all seems to hinge on national sovereignty. Well, you know, will the United States be the independent republic it was created as, or not? And then it's from that you can derive certain branches off that main tree, if you will. And that is, are we to allow our military to become the executive branch's tool to be sent overseas into any conflict or war that the president feels like sending it into, or are we going to obey the original premise, and that is we should only act militarily when Congress issues a official formal declaration of war under the Constitution? That would be one plank of thing. And another, of course, is are we going to have a national economy where we use tariffs and other nationalist measures to control and govern the foreign imports that come flooding into our nation, or are we going to have this internationalist approach where you just ship goods anywhere and everywhere with barely any thought as to the consequences of doing so? And then, so besides the war and the economy, you have, will our legislature just be an advisory council for the executive branch, or will we continue to have this sort of imperialist presidency where our U.S. Congress has been relegated, as I just mentioned, sort of an advisory status? And, of course, that's one of the main problems is we don't have a Congress anymore that has any teeth or any meaning. And, of course, that raises concerns with these resolutions we've been discussing today, because Congress itself has given away the store. It's given away so much of its authority either to the executive branch, allowing the executive branch to declare war or to decide when we fight war, or Congress gives away its authority to international institutions such as the World Trade Organization back in 1994. And now we have some tribunal overseas making trade decisions when our Constitution gave those trade regulations and gave that trade authority to our Congress. So we have these major shifts of power. We have the war issue. We have the economic issue. But it all hinges around U.S. sovereignty. You know, will our nation act under its Constitution the way it was designed to, being out for the interests of the American people, or are we always going to be increasingly just a subdivision in some sort of global system where we have just large land masses re-engineered into large nation states like the European Union and North American Union? And and even culturally, it has an impact. It's amazing. We're living through very interesting times, that's for sure. And American Free Press is trying very hard to keep defining these issues and keep calling attention to them, because a lot of Americans just don't realize what's at stake, because the dominant media reports things in such a way where it's very difficult to connect the dots. Each newspaper has its own market, as they call it, and they report what's going on in terms of their local area. But a lot of them just the same world news in their pages from the Associated Press and other wire services. So, you know, if you rely strictly on the dominant media, the mainstream mass media, it's very difficult to understand the nationalist implications of what's happening, because it's very hard to connect the dots. But American Free Press, of course, tries to connect those dots whenever we can that the other papers won't, so people see the bigger picture and understand this nationalist-internationalist dichotomy. So,
well, it strikes me that I watch what's happening in this country, where an absolutely comatose public is finally beginning to register some degree of concern about what's happening with this war and certainly on some of these economic issues. Many of them know that something is wrong. They felt powerless up to this point, but they maybe figured out that something is wrong. They're not sure what. And as you point out, the corporately controlled news media has been absolutely a key factor in keeping them ignorant, uninformed, not being able to connect the dots. Do you think that in the days ahead, that if there is a groundswell of protest against things like this unconstitutional war abroad, and like this situation with this Mexican trucking being allowed to come in here in Bush facilitating, of course, it's coming in here in order that cheap Asian goods might be distributed throughout the country, as people grasp that, do you think that is going to result longer term in maybe a real expansion of outreach for the American Free Press? It seems to me that it would.
Yeah, I think so. Because people will say, why wasn't I told? Why didn't I know more about it? And they're going to, I think, feel a little bit slighted or even betrayed to ponder the state of affairs and say, why didn't I read about this years ago? You know, I've been subscribing to the Chicago Tribune, or I've been subscribing to whatever paper, the Houston Chronicle, and why didn't I know more about this? Or if I was told, why wasn't I told in a more accurate or comprehensive way what it was about? That sort of thing. You know, and then they might start looking for other sources of information, and hopefully American Free Press, which is AmericanFreePress.net on the Internet, would be one of those publications that they would turn to. It's really going to put the dominant media kind of under the microscope, ultimately, as more and more people feel the pinch and feel the sting of what's going on. That's a very good point. But, you know, one of the things American Free Press does very well, and I try to do in particular, is point out what average Americans are doing, not just on the truck issue, the Mexican truck issue, and the blockade, and things of that nature, but other things that you hardly ever read about in the papers, because Americans are really doing some amazing things, and they're really working hard to try and regain some influence over the direction this country is going in. And one of those, if I may, is right here in Texas, is the group that I just wrote about that's pushing for a return to paper ballots and hand-counted paper ballots. And I think Vicki Karp's probably listening out there, so I'll say hello to her. And we just covered this in the April 2nd issue about this determined group of citizens pushing for hand-counted paper ballots by trying to get legislation in Austin in the state legislature to get away from these manipulable and insecure electronic voting means.
We'll take up that theme when we come back, Mark. This is Mark Dankoff, America, coming to you live from San Antonio on RBN. We'll be back with Mark Anderson of the American Free Press. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important handbook you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safe deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-622.
Across America, coming to live San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Mark Anderson of the American Free Press, talking about a whole series of things, including this impending truckers' boycott. We've been chatting about the whole issue of internationalism as opposed to nationalism, and the way in which that would seem to be the core struggle in regard to all of these political and cultural issues that confront us. Mark, I'm going to ask you something. I have another friend by the name of Mark. Mark Glenn of American Free Press, who, of course, also has his Crescent and Cross website. And Mark comes on this show on Fridays now, and we chat about a whole series of political and cultural and social issues. He insists to me, and I'll be frank with the listeners, I've come to believe this myself, that standing behind this internationalist-nationalist division in the United States is the whole question of the Israeli lobby and the Jewish domestic political lobby in this country. Mark Glenn would, I think, say, if I'm not putting words in his mouth, that when you look at virtually any facet of this present crisis in which we find ourselves, whether you're looking at the internationalist foreign policy, or you're looking at these globalist trade issues, or you're talking about the cultural decline of America, there is a very large, substantial Jewish component that is involved in this in terms of both financial and logistical support. That's what Mark Glenn, I think, would say. I have come to believe this. What's your take on that?
Well, the first thing I would say is that's not something that I've done a lot of investigation of. It's not something that I've read a lot about or studied much. I think that there is some truth to it. I think it goes beyond that. The forces that are steering our nation the wrong way, I think, include that, but I don't think it's limited to that. That much, I think, is true. If you look at institutions that are pushing the opposite point of view, like the Council on Foreign Relations and different organizations like that, the Bilderberg Group, which is this global planning commission that meets annually in different posh locations around the world. Most recently in Brussels, that was the Trilateral Commission. I mean, these groups consist of the people with this Jewish connection, but certainly it's not limited to that. I think we make a mistake thinking that it is just that and nothing more. That much I know, but I really haven't studied the issue all that much. I focus mostly on the domestic issues and the hard facts and how people are getting involved in the United States to try and control their government and to try and make their country a better place.
Well, in regard to that whole issue then of domestic politics, one of the things that comes up from time to time is this whole business alternative third party. In the American Free Press, this April 9th edition, there's a guy from North Carolina who writes a letter to the editor saying that an alternative party is needed now. And I, of course, for a long time in the last decade, was involved with the Constitution Party as an alternative to the Republican Party. I ran for the U.S. Senate on the Constitution Party line in Delaware in 2000 when I was living up in that part of the country before returning to Texas. So, you know, I have some background in some of this. And yet I have had the frustration, personal frustration, of being totally fed up with the Republican Party, and yet I have not seen any evidence yet that any credible populist conservative America First third party is going to be able to get off the ground. What's your take on that? And for people who believe the kinds of things that we tend to believe at both Republic Broadcasting Network and the American Free Press, where do we tell people to go in regard to continued participation with the ballot boxes? Do you think there's going to be a credible third-party alternative to what's going on with Bush and Cheney and the Republican Party, or do you think that that's pretty much an impossible thing?
Well, the people that run the two dominant political parties that operate really as one behind the scenes, and the people that run the dominant media, have moved heaven and earth to make sure that third-party candidates and alternative the alternative parties and their candidates, independent candidates, those sorts of things, to make sure that they don't get a foothold. And this I'm very familiar with. It operates in a number of ways. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, one of the ways is the electric voting machines that can be remotely controlled in some instances.
Yes.
And the various ways that elections themselves can be manipulated. And we have these hardworking Americans such as Vicky Karp, who's national chair of Coalition for Visible Ballots, being among those in a group in Texas pushing for a return to hand-counted paper ballots. They're kind of taking lead on this nationally by getting the applicable legislation, House Bill 3894. It's now going to get a committee hearing by the House Committee on Elections. I just learned this last night talking to this Texas group pushing for a return to hand-counted paper ballots. So insofar that there is election fraud, that's one means by which alternative parties and candidates are stymied, but it's by no means the only. I've often argued, and I just spoke on this at a forum in California, that another way is the way the media covers elections, to where you don't learn about the third parties or their debates in any meaningful way, if you learn about them at all. So when you go to the ballot box, all of a sudden you see all these other names on the ballot that you never heard about.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas. We'll pick up with this with Mark Anderson.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
With recent international flight in the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against visible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you, and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel or Jeff Bennett help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican had publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Back. This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Mark Anderson of the American Free Press. We were talking before the break a little bit about third parties in this country and some of the difficulties that surround those third parties being able to get off the ground. Mark, one of the things you've talked about is this whole paper ballot issue, both in Texas and elsewhere. Do you believe, just on that issue, that a lot of this electronic voting and the electronic voting machine contracts that individual states have engaged in is in fact part of a deliberate conspiracy on the part of certain corporate powers that be to control the outcome of elections?
I think there's some truth to that. Yeah, how widespread that conspiracy is another question, but there's no doubt that the software companies such as Diebold and others that create these machines and write the proprietary secret software have a very vested interest in controlling the elections, either for political and or monetary reasons. Certainly there's a reward that they get out of it. That's well documented in a book called Hacked, High-Tech Election Theft in America, which I just reviewed from Free Press that the paper ballot group in Texas that I just referred to put together. It's a very good book. And it cites an example in there that I've already written about in the April 2nd issue of American Free Press when I first wrote this Texas group. It cites an example where the folks in Texas trying to return honesty to our elections gave a hands-on, tangible example, that is a demonstration, I mean to say, for several reporters. This was just before the 2004 general elections. They demonstrated with software, with computers, right in front of these reporters. They demonstrated hands-on how an election can be altered or manipulated through various software manipulations and things of that nature. And still, the media, even after seeing this hands-on demonstration of how you can rig an election or alter the results, the media still maligned or misreported on this group from Texas that's trying to bring honesty and integrity back to our election process. So that shows you the mindset of the mainstream media, that where even when confronted with the truth themselves right in front of their face, they're still often not willing to report accurately what's going on. But, of course, it goes much deeper than that. Even before we go to the voting booth, as I alluded to before the break, even before the average voter goes to the voting, the polling place, the vote's already been manipulated by the way the media covers third parties and things of that nature, by only focusing on Democrats and Republicans and only focusing on ideas that are deemed acceptable. So the average American gets to the voting booth and he sees candidate A and candidate B, and he or she has already read about those two candidates, but then the voter is surprised to see that running for the same office, there's three more candidates. And then the voter says to himself, well, why didn't I read about those other three candidates? And this is a way that the media screens out alternative ideas and alternative candidates by not covering them or by them only marginal or minimal coverage. And so the vote is manipulated in the mind of the voter long before the voter touches the voting machine. And then another way they keep this situation under control, as you may know, Mark, is through ballot access laws. If you're the Constitution Party or you're the Libertarian or Green Party, whatever your persuasion, and you want to get on the ballot in any given state, oftentimes you have to get hundreds of thousands of signatures. And the election comes up, and if you don't get enough votes according to a certain formula, then the next time an election comes up, you have to get all those signatures gathered all over again to get back on the ballot.
And that becomes absolutely critical because, as is the case with the Constitution Party, historically, they spend so much money out of necessity just to get on the ballot.
And just to stay on the ballot.
And to stay on the ballot that they end up not having any money to conduct a real serious national campaign in a presidential election year because all the money's gone into ballot access.
Right. So through ballot access laws, through voting booth itself, and through media screening of the candidates and their ideas, you have this sort of three-tiered approach to keep undesirables out of the process. And, of course, that has a direct effect. If we had more Constitution Party people in Congress, the North American Union would probably be not as far along now. Perhaps it would even be it would have even been thrown in the wastebasket. Perhaps it belongs. And so, you know, there's lots of consequences to this multi-tiered control, or multi-pronged control, I should say, of what kind of people and what kind of ideas make it into the political power structure. And so, you know, this is one area where I've done a lot of reporting over a number of years on how they keep the system, you know, within the internationalist grasp, as you say, and away from a more nationalist constitution-based approach.
Well, do you find, you know, looking at this whole deck that is stacked against third-party candidates and the way in which the large corporate globalistic interests clearly control both the Democratic and Republican parties in this country,
mm-hmm.
do you think that this whole set of circumstances is going to bring us ever closer to a very frightening scenario where a much wider group of people in the country, demographically and politically, conclude that there is no opportunity for effective political expression or political achievement within the existing system because it's rigged, and therefore because it's rigged and the deck is stacked, that there must be a resort to very radical means of civil disobedience, which in some alarming cases could even approach and cross the line into violence. Is that something that you would be concerned about?
In a way, to a degree. First of all, I would say that I don't think it has to come to that, and it ought not to have to come to that, and
right.
we can all pray and hope that it won't. Of course, that's fraught with peril in that you can have provocateurs who would egg people on to take that approach, deliberately leading to a crackdown where people would stage certain violent acts and violent approaches precisely for the purpose of smoking out certain individuals or groups and making them vulnerable to arrest and their assets vulnerable to seizure. That would lead to so many case circumstances and so many unpredictable things that we can all hope that won't matter, because it would suddenly become very difficult to tell who's your friend and who's not. And so, you know, in the back of my mind, and probably in the back of a lot of people's minds, that's always seen as a regrettable and hopefully, I guess I'd say an idea that hopefully will never have to be considered, because I think it'd do a lot more harm than good. But I think that part of this, I think, really, Mark, is that Americans do have some recourse, and they're doing a lot of good things. It's just that they don't, the broad cross-section of Americans don't know these things are happening. Very few people know about this Texas group pushing for hand-counted paper ballots, unless they are reading American Free Press and alternative media. Why the dominant media wouldn't pick up on this right as the presidential candidates are starting to throw their hat in the ring is beyond me. But a lot of good things are happening. A lot of people are doing good things. And I think listeners out there who haven't turned to alternative media, I would say to them to give it a shot. Try American Free Press at AmericanFreePress.net. Listen to this radio station more. Put aside USA Today. Put aside your local paper. Don't watch TV too much, especially Fox News.
Oh, boy.
And, kind of retune your thoughts to a different look at reality. I'm talking to your listeners right now, keep an open mind and read some alternative sources and make up your mind for yourself if you're really getting the information you really need to control the direction of this country. And I think if more people just knew what was going on and were able to connect the dots, I think it would make a huge difference. And that goes hand in hand with that, of course, is understanding exactly how the deck is stacked and how it's done. You know, screening out the alternative candidates and parties through news coverage, rigging election machines, the way that they use the matching dollars, federal matching dollars, things like that, where the candidates that raise enough money to qualify for federal funding will then take that funding and spend a lot of it on advertising. And, of course, when they take those federal dollars and spend it on advertising, the dominant media who receives those advertising dollars are even more likely to only focus on the candidates that raise the most money. And whoever serves in public office in the country, it's not supposed to be based on money. It's supposed to be based on ideas. And, that's another cocktail, if you will, another way that the situation is rigged. And, of course, ballot access laws, along with paper ballots, we need to have better ballot access laws so it's not so difficult for all independent candidates and alternative parties to get on the ballot in the first place. So along with going back to hand-counted paper ballots, I think reforming the ballot access process would be a very, very good step in all 50 states. And there's a lot of good things that are being done, a lot of good things that can be done. It's just a matter of enough Americans knowing what the issues are, knowing what the stakes are, and knowing the best approach to turn things around.
And as far as Texas is concerned and our listeners in Texas, what is this group in this state that's involved with this paper ballot issue?
Well, Vote Rescue is one of the groups, and there's the Coalition for Visible Ballots is another. There's a few different organizations, but the individuals are largely based in Austin, also throughout the state, and they're the ones pushing House Bill 3894 in the Texas legislature right now as we speak. And as I understand, thanks to Representative Lon Burnham of Tarrant County, District 90, the bill HB 3894 is supposed to get a hearing soon in the House Elections Committee in the Texas legislature, and that bill, of course, calls for hand-counted paper ballots. And this is a very promising trend that more Americans need to know about, because other groups could take up the cost in their respective states and push for hand-counted paper ballots in any state in the union. And then reforming ballot access laws, of course, would be very good. And I suppose campaign finance laws need to be looked at again. We probably won't go into that right now. That gets really, really complicated. But this group here in Texas, I think, provides a very good example of what Americans can do, as well as the National Grassroots Demonstration and the Abner Deathridge and others in Missouri, who are calling on Americans across the country to call their legislators, especially in their home district offices, to call their federal legislators about the Mexican truck invasion and other crucial issues. there's lots of things Americans can do and that they are doing. It's just a matter of more of the great American populace to hear about what's happening and to hear about how people are responding.
As far as the ballot access thing goes, I remember a few years ago, and it's probably still the case that he's the leading expert on the subject, Ridinger out in California.
Yes, very good.
I had some dealings with Richard online a number of years ago when I was doing this U.S. Senate thing in Delaware. But in regard to this whole issue of ballot access and making it easier for legitimate third parties and third-party candidates to get on the ballot, do you have any ideas, Mark, as to one or two or three things that maybe need to be enacted to facilitate the possibility that we can make some change in that arena?
Well, certainly it's just going to take good old-fashioned hard work to push for legislative changes in each state to alter those laws. And what goes hand-in-hand with that awareness of how the Secretary of State in each state is usually controlled by, controlled by one of the dominant political parties. In Michigan, where I'm originally from, the Republican Party has a very strong hold on the Secretary of State's office, and they really don't like the Constitution Party because the Constitution Party provides a very striking contrast that espouses ideas that the traditional GOP once upon a time used to promote back in the days of Robert Taft and things of that nature. The ideas of non-interventionism, the ideas of much smaller disciplined government, the ideas of not sending our military hither and yon into any country just because we feel like it, the ideas of national sovereignty and protecting our borders and things of this nature that the Republicans, at least traditional Republicans long ago, used to talk about. So, the current Republican structure really doesn't like the Constitution Party because it shines a light on the GOP's globalist leanings that have taken root over the last probably 20, 30 years. And so I don't know that there's a silver bullet with ballot access. It's going to take just a lot along the lines of returning to paper ballots. It's going to take legislative changes to change the procedure at the state level in any state. And it just good old-fashioned hard work is the key. Richard Winger's site, Ballot Access, I forget the website, Ballot Access News. I think it's called Ballot Access News. Is that correct?
That's it. That's.
Yeah, I would encourage listeners to go to Ballot Access News and read Richard Winger's statistics and news and reports and analysis on how much of a difference ballot access laws make. They make a great deal of difference as to what kind of people get on the ballot and have a chance to get in office. And that, as you know, Mark, that's a very important area that the dominant media rarely, if ever, covers. They just don't want about that. It's pretty much persona non grata in terms of news, because that's one area where if more Americans were informed, we could really, really start making a difference the way candidates are screened by the dominant media to favor the Democrats and Republicans.
Yes, and it seems to me that that's an area where if we truly, truly have an opportunity to engage in effective political discourse and activism through the ballot box, if there's any chance that that's still a possibility, I think this issue of taking a look at this electronic voter machine scam is certainly one thing that's absolutely pivotal. And then, of course, the ballot access situation is another. And that contact is Richard Winger at Ballot Access News, I believe out in San Francisco. We'll be back with Mark Anderson of the American Free Press when Mark Gantkoff's America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut, metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jobs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time, liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbn.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
It's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
This is Mark Dancos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today in these final minutes is Mark Anderson of the American Free Press. And you can find the American Free Press at AmericanFreePress.net. You can also call them, I believe, at 1-888-699-NEWS. That's 1-888-699-NEWS. We have a caller for Mark, Fred in Philadelphia. Go ahead, Fred.
Hi. You've been talking about some incredible topics, Mark. I appreciate it. On the issue of transparent voting, we're never going to get that until someone picks up the investigation of a VNS, or what is now called the National Election Pool. It's the other end of the issue, basically, where the votes go after they are tabulated. Where they are counted. It's a VNS is a consortium of the six global media organizations, and they do not have any accountability. You had someone at American Free Press who in 1996 did an excellent investigation, and I wish that Mark could address that, and I could help very much in informing him of the patents involved, of the organizational structure. This has to really be a part and parcel of the whole thing.
Your point is very well taken. Very interesting what he brought up here.
Yes.
It's in the book Hacked, High Tech Election Theft in America, about this very consortium that he alludes to. And it's went through various names, this a collusion, I guess is the best word, of the dominant media network that processed the election information as it's sent in from precincts all across the country. That's one of those little-known operations in the nation that really needs to be exposed. This is a very good point, and it cannot be overlooked. It's something that is just screamed out for investigation. And actually, the timing is very good now as the presidential race starts to take shape to look at this, because not only does it suggest manipulation of election results, but it speaks to the larger issue of dominant media networks posing or masquerading as if they're competing against each other, when in fact they're kind of all just reading off the same page or operating out of the same playbook.
Mark, where are you located? What part of the country are you in?
Right now I'm in Texas. I travel a lot. I'm from Michigan originally.
Mm-hmm. If there could be an emphasis on northern New Jersey, New York City, and of course the folks at American Free Press could tell you about the prior work, 96, on BNS, that would be a great place to start.
Yeah, maybe leave your number with Mark, and maybe I'll get with you on this.
Okay.
Yeah, Fred, send me an email on this, because I definitely want to cover this on this show, and I'd like to see Mark do some follow-up coverage on this with the American Free Press. This is great stuff.
It is.
And Mark Anderson, send me the information on some of these paper ballot folks here in Texas. I'd like to get them on, too.
Yeah,
Fred, thanks for calling.
Okay.
And seriously, contact me. I am interested in covering this.
I certainly will.
God bless both of you guys. This is Mark Gankoff's America signing off today live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'll be back tomorrow with our John Martinez. See you then. God bless.
It's true.